Hello, hello everyone out there. Welcome back to Speaking Arrangements, where we are always rearranging things in our lives. We have a phenomenal, exceptional pod today. I'm so excited. I'm back with another one. I have an amazing guest. I'm really excited. But yeah, we'll let the music ride out for a little bit for you guys. So yeah, like I said, this is going to be a really, really amazing podcast. I'm so excited. Okay, so we're reporting live from not my closet. We are on my couch. Yeah, like we're on my couch. So humble beginnings. I have my girl, Mikkel, here today. Clap it up for Mikkel. I'm going to let you know. It's the little woo. So listen, Mikkel and me go to the same church. So we were at night prayers the other day. We were calling out to the Lord, Chad, and lost our voice.
Let me tell you,
girl,
I was screaming.
I said, yeah. I said, Lord, ascend me, Lord, please.
Jesus.
Don't leave
Jesus,
me behind.
Let me tell you what I need, Jesus.
You know what I need, Lord? Listen.
I need you to come through, Jesus.
100%. The Lord came and swept us up. So our voices are a little, you know, but we're still going to pod because this is going to be honestly a really, really, really amazing episode. Very, very, I don't even know where to start.
Do you want to tell them to go and get Kleenex?
Yeah, go get a Kleenex, man. Honestly, if you're an empath, get a Kleenex. We are going to talk about a lot of things that, so if you guys know that I've been talking a little bit about how to just like be uniquely you and boldly you and just like staying in the lane that the Lord has called you to be in and not wanting to be anybody else. But one thing that I realize is, in order to do that, you really have to know your story and accept your past and where you come from and the experiences. Definitely. You have to do that. Like if you don't, then it's you have like a hard time. And I think that a lot of us, you know, our experiences, not all of them are the best. Some of them are very like traumatic experiences and sometimes they invoke shame and you know what I mean? So we keep them in the shadows. So that's actually what this episode is going to be called, In the Shadows. And this is a story that I know that you kept in the shadows for a really long time, Mikkel. But before we even get into that, I want you to introduce yourself. Mikkel's my homegirl. We go to church together. I love her daughter. Shout out to my Aisha.
Rebecca is my child's baby mom.
Yes, my baby. It's my baby girl. You already know that. Like, I'm the rich auntie, duh. She's not like a baby anymore, but low-key, she's still my baby, okay? So, shout out to my Aisha. So we've known each other for a really, really long time. We used to live up the street from each other.
But we didn't really know each other.
Yeah, I feel like we've known each other, but I feel like we didn't really know each other. But that's only because Mikkel is, like, super, like, suspicious and, like, you know, mad, like, quiet and to herself, but this story will give you reason.
Exactly. Let me just let y'all know that was the enemy.
But this story will tell you why. If I went through what you went through, I would do the same thing. I probably wouldn't even come outside. So,
yeah.
Yeah, but yeah. But introduce yourself.
What do you want me to say?
I want you, well, first of all, Mikkel's an amazing mother. Love her so much. She's like the mom, like the cool mom.
The cool mom.
You're like a cool mom. Like, Maisha can talk to you about a lot of things. Like, she even told me that.
I mean, she does, but I mean, I never thought of myself as a cool mom.
No, you're a cool mom. Like, you're like the like cool mom, like
the cool mom that go in tongues, though.
Yeah, you got to. What you mean? All the cool moms better pray in tongues. You don't pray in tongues, yeah. Like, your kids are gonna get. Yeah, no, of course. Like, the cool mom speaks in tongues and stuff. But I feel like you, and Aisha, can really relate, and I love that about you guys' relationship. I love that aspect of your parenting.
It took work.
Yeah,
it took a lot of Jesus.
Come on, Jesus fixes everything.
Because did you tell you the story before me having Jesus?
Yeah, she definitely did.
Okay.
I've seen some pictures. I should post pictures in like your old Rough Rider days.
Oh, she gonna come for me.
Yeah, listen. But you were still a baddie. You still looked really good.
Listen, I grew up in the suburbs and I thought I was hood. Like, yeah. I was looking for the hood dudes.
But listen.
And that's what got me to telling you this story today. I went out there.
It's always us women looking for some men.
Went out in the street, in the mud, just mucking it up.
I'm so tired of you. Okay, so tell us a little bit about you so the listeners have a little bit of, like, you know, an idea of who you are.
Okay, I'm Mikkel. I am a mother. I am an RMT, a business owner, daughter. I serve at CCCG. What else?
You have like platforms, sis.
Oh,
girl.
That's what you want me to talk about?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. So I have two podcasts. One that is called Just Business as Usual. So I allow new entrepreneurs or entrepreneurs to share their business story. Mm-hmm. And I also have a podcast called Journey in Christ, where babes in Christ are able to learn about their faith.
I love that. I love that you said new entrepreneurs, because I feel like no one cares about new entrepreneurs. Like when you're a new one and you don't have experience and like you're really like, this is the like idea that the Lord gave me and I'm running with it. Like no one cares about that. Like you have to like really start to like make your own, you know, the Lord has to
figure it out.
Yeah. And then people start. But I love that, you know, God has called you to carve out a space where people can come talk about their new entrepreneurship. That's amazing.
But it only had to be in Jesus, because, you know, I would not talk at all.
That's big facts. Yeah. Okay. So Mikhail's an introvert, child. She be minding her business and
I just stay out of the way. See, what happened was I used to be called Razor back in the day.
Razor.
I was real sharp. I was real sharp.
Like Razor, like with your words or?
Yes, girl.
In the streets, yeah. No, but I feel like you still are Razor with your words. They people need to not try you.
And that's why I be quiet.
I know that about you.
That's why I be quiet, because I'm just like, see, I have a Jesus in me.
Yeah.
And sometimes the enemy, don't come trying to say funny things to me.
And I feel like we're like one in the same when it comes to that. I don't know why. Like,
don't roll up on me funny.
Don't roll up on me funny. Don't
no,
be
I don't
funny.
Do that.
I don't do funny jokes. I'm not like, I'm not with the slick stuff.
No, I'm not your friend.
Period.
I'm not your friend.
Period.
So step correct.
That's right. And I trust it. And I think people really do. I feel like people do know that about you. Because
I know. Listen, you're listening to me right now. I want you to know that about me.
I feel like that's who you are, Mikhail.
I want you to know. Don't come wrong.
Yeah, don't step wrong to me. Mm-mm. I love. Do you think that that's like, okay, so Mikhail's from the Bahamas. Shout out to the Bahamas. Like, first of all, the Bahamas is a beautiful place, Chad. The Lord is going to have to take me there, because I be looking at them prices. I said, Lord Jesus. It's like $3,000 to go to the Bahamas.
But I'm from there, and I look at the prices, and I'm like, Jesus.
Yeah, that's facts. Mikhail's from the Bahamas, and I feel like it comes with like a little bit of an island. It's a little bit of like a, you know, it's like I'm Ghanaian, you know, we kind of have like, you know, Nigerians.
Sass.
Yeah, we have a little sass.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I like it though.
Yeah.
I feel like people know not to play with you, period.
I don't want them to play with you,
period. And I love that about you, because you know what, for me, for a really long time, I didn't want people to play with me, but I didn't like the fact that I didn't want people to play with me. But now I really don't want you to play with me. And I like the fact that you don't play with me, period. And I'm not changing.
No.
Don't step to me funny. Don't say no funny stuff, because I'm going to call you out, period. And that's just, or you know what?
Sometimes I pray in my mind, because people say funny things in front of me, and I'm just like,
Yeah, I give them that look too. You better than me though, because I feel like you low key don't be saying nothing, but I be saying stuff. I might drag you.
I be saying it in my spirit.
Yeah. But you know what's so crazy? Not us having just conversations, but you know what's so crazy, Pastor, was like, when you talk crazy about people in your spirit, you're so wrong. I said, ooh, I've been sinning, Chad.
I know.
Yeah, people be saying stuff to me. I'm like, a damn doofus in my head.
No. I just go in tongues in my head,
because
I'm trying to like block out any bad words that I want to say.
That's good though. So you're doing the right thing. I'm not, because I'm thinking if I insult them in my brain, then it'd be all right.
No. I don't insult them in my brain. I black out. Black out in my brain. I'm like, you're correct.
Yeah.
So no.
Yeah, you have to though.
I'm just like, No.
I'm gonna start doing that.
Because yeah.
I'm going to start doing that. That's a little bit about Mikhail. So we're doing banter. But
it was a little fun, though.
I love that for us. I just feel like, yeah. And you guys are going to love it, too. But, okay, so we know a little bit about Mikhail. She has her podcast. She's a businesswoman. She gives amazing massages. Where can people, like, sign up to get a massage?
Well, if they go online, it's Kingdom Massage International.
Mm-hmm.
And they can book
an appointment.
They can book an appointment.
So good. You give like the best massages. My neck was like hurting the other day, and I was like, no, I had to go find you in church, girl. I said, please straighten this neck out, Lord. And the pain was completely gone.
I mean, she's all dressed up with her nice little wig.
Yeah, girl, you know that wig goes away by fourth service, Chad. I'm in my father's house. It is well. Anyways, yeah. But you guys, if you guys are looking for like a really good deep tissue massage, what other type of massages you do?
I do cupping. I do gua sha.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So she does all that too. So what is it again? Where can they reach you?
Kingdom Massage International.
Yeah, book an appointment. Support local, period. That's right. Support local, period. Okay. So let's get into this now. So like we were talking about, when you really want to, you know yourself and own everything that you are and just be a unapologetic you and just be yourself, you have to really own your experiences and own your past and be at peace with your past. And that can be scary sometimes, because when I heard this story, I was really, I was afraid for you.
Because it's full Lifetime movie.
No, it's a full-on Lifetime movie. So we're gonna get into this. So like I said, this episode is called In the Shadows, and trigger warning, because this might the trigger warning for sure, because some of the things that happened in this were like really traumatic. And if somebody's currently going through this, we want to like let you know that you're not alone, and that, you know, you don't need to hide in the shadows. So we're gonna take it right from the top. So essentially, Mikkel, we're going to be talking about Mikkel's experience with a stalker, someone that
a creeper,
someone that put her life in danger, somebody. And just like, we're going to try to give you guys resources. We're going to try to, you know, our main objective is for you guys, who anybody that's going through this, because I've been harassed, but I haven't been stalked before. I used to watch a lot of murder mysteries, and I've watched women be stalked and men be stalked. And I think that
it's crazy.
It's very traumatic to even watch. So to live it, and the fact that Mikkel wants to talk about this, and the Lord is like, hey, like you need to tell your story, is so important for so many people out there that are currently being stalked or have been stalked and are still currently living in the shadows and not themselves. As you guys know, Mikkel has 2 podcasts. She has a business. She's out and about. She's a mother. She's no longer hiding. And that's our main objective, that you can come into the light. You know what I mean? Yeah. That you don't have to be fearful, and that the Lord will protect you and guide you.
And it took God's grace.
100%. Because some of the stuff that you said, I was scared for you. Okay. So let's start from the starting, so our audience knows a little bit about, you know, because we're going to break it up into sections, because it's a lot. This is something that happened over like a span of a decade?
Yeah.
Okay. So like, yeah. So this happened about a decade. So, and this is while you have a daughter, because my Aisha's older
now,
but at that time she was a little younger.
She was about 10 or 9.
So do you want to start from the time when you first,
at the very beginning, or
like, do you want to start from the time when you first started thinking like, hey, like something that is not adding up, or like maybe when the time when you, so when in front of your home, maybe.
Okay. So there was,
give context. So people,
so there is this, there's one particular day. Mm-hmm. This is when, to me, it began. Mm-hmm. Because it could have started prior to, and I didn't pay attention.
Okay.
So there was this particular day. I got off work. I picked up my Aisha from school. Well, babysitter, and I pulled into my driveway, and my issue was like, she wanted to go to her dad's. I put the car.
This is in the Bahamas, right?
In the Bahamas, okay. Yeah. And for me, I was living in typically a safe neighborhood. Mm-hmm. This was not the ghetto.
No, I don't even think there's a ghetto in the Bahamas. I heard there is, but it's beautiful. But yeah,
it was not the ghetto. So in my head, you know, nothing to worry about.
Yeah,
dropped her to her dad's place, and then pulled into my driveway, and in front of me is a guy with, so I parked the car, come out, you know, lock the car up, whatever, and this guy is in front of me with a mask on his face and a gun in his hand.
Jesus. Is Maisha in the car?
She's already been dropped.
Oh, you dropped her off to her dad's house. Okay, so you come back now.
So it only could have been God
who, yeah,
had her say,
yeah,
drop me to my dad's, because she would have been beside me.
Yeah. So you come out your car now in front of your home.
I'm in front of the home, and this guy is in front of me. I don't know what he wants, but the only thing I could do is scream, and I just sit on the floor. And my landlord came out, and this it was 2 guys actually.
Wow.
But one that was in front of me that I didn't pay attention to the other, but this one that was in front of me, I just saw when he ran off. And so anyway, I just thought it was a one-off.
Mm.
Just that he came to rob me or something. He didn't get the opportunity.
Okay.
Went to the police station, and, you know, they basically look at me like, sis.
Yeah.
Girl, you driving a nice car. You want to be single. So it almost felt to me as if I was wrong for being single.
And being successful.
Right.
Right.
So at that point, I don't think that's when I started to become introverted.
Mm-hmm.
I just knew, okay, this thing happened. Now I just need to ramp up security.
Yeah, security.
I'm going to call it security.
Yeah.
So one thing that I did when I said I went in the world was I mucked up with some real gangsters.
Period. You didn't know that? She said razor, Charles. They didn't call it razor for no reason, Chad.
So I had a pregnancy prior to my Aisha, mm-hmm. and the baby died, but mm-hmm. that father was street.
Oh, he was in the streets.
I'm going to say he's real street.
Okay.
And so his friends were who I went to when this happened. And they went in the street.
Looking for him.
They went in the street.
So let's pull back a little bit. Okay. So, because I think this is, really important for anybody that's listening. So you get home and there's this like masked gunman in front of you and you scream. There's somebody else, your landlord comes out and you do the right thing. Cause they tell us to, when these type of things happen, especially women, they tell us to go to the cops. So you go to the cops and they say to you, there's nothing they can do and essentially make you feel bad for having a nice car, living in a nice neighborhood and being single. And I think that in the, like, you know, back home in our countries, like, they do that, but in Canada and like different places and stuff like that, a lot of women do go to the police and the police essentially don't take their situation seriously. I've watched too many documentaries. I've watched the news too many times. I've watched too many murder mysteries where these women go out and try to get help.
Yeah.
And it's not until, God forbid, they are hurt.
Because they literally tell you nothing happened.
Nothing happened. How did you feel? And I know you said that you kind of like went inside and kind of put, you know, try to do things in your own strength at that point, because
that was over time. So let me finish tell you the story.
Yeah.
So after going to the police, not being able to get help, but one officer warned me basically that this person has already harassed other women
in the neighborhood.
Yeah.
Wow.
And the other women got raped.
Jesus.
So he was looking at me like, girl, you're lucky. And
you would think they would take it more seriously though.
And so in my mind, I was like, so you know who it is, you know something's happening. Yeah. And y'all just like, I'm lucky.
Yeah, that's tough.
And child, I thought I was a gangster. I was like, lucky. Yeah, I didn't shoot this person. Like, you crazy.
Yeah.
And so from that day, I just knew that this thing happened. Not that I was like, this was going to be a prolonged. So this happened. The police would come and just check every so often the surroundings or whatever. But eventually, I think it was like a month later, the same officer was just like, you should move.
Move out of your neighborhood.
I really loved the apartment, but I wanted my comfort as well. I wanted my peace.
And your safety.
So I moved, and there were another time, because I don't know how long or how much this person has paid attention to me, has been watching me and learning my movements. Mm-hmm. And my Aisha and I were in the car headed from my grandmother's house. And what time?
Like later on in the night?
No, it was not even at night. It was in the afternoon.
Wow. Broad daylight.
So I usually get off at 2 p.m. And I'm thinking that was a weekend, because if she was at my grandma's, she would have been off school.
Yeah.
So it take me about 30 minutes to get home from my grandmother's house. And we're like 20 minutes in. And she's like, oh, is this your friend behind us? And I'm like, friend? Do I look like I have any friends?
Wow.
But she's like, yeah, this person has been behind us since we were at mom's house.
Wow.
And so I started to make weird turns, not to my house.
Just to see if this
car would continue. And it continued. And so I'm just trying to figure out what to do. And at this point, my neighbor, my immediate neighbor, where I was staying in this new apartment, was a police officer.
Thank God.
And so I was like, okay. I mean, in my mind, this person has already followed me. They probably already know where I live anyway.
Where you live anyways, yeah.
So I drove into my apartment complex, got into the driveway, but I look back at my Aisha in the backseat and I'm like, I'm going to count to three and I need you to run to the neighbor's house. Mm-hmm. and tell him to come over here right away.
And this is the police officer, right?
This is the officer. And he's usually always outside. Like, he's always cleaning his car or doing something around the yard. And she's like, why? You know how kids are just like, why? And I'm like, I said, run.
Now.
And I said, one, two, and she was gone.
Yeah. So smart kid.
I look in the rearview mirror and the car can't pull in behind me. So from the first incident, I started to carry a machete in my car.
Smart girl.
Because you finna come up on me, I'ma hurt you.
Yeah.
So at this point in my head, I'm like, I will have to kill this person.
Yeah.
Because they're not gonna hurt me and my child.
Yeah.
And the neighbor comes over, the car slowly pulls out of the driveway, and they go.
Wow.
And so I explained to the neighbor what's going on. And he's like, well, I thought that was your friend.
Excuse me?
Girl.
So hold on. So your neighbor, Maisha goes and gets the police officer, the neighbor, and then the car pulls off, like pulls out back. And this is, we want to give you guys context to follow the story. It's broad daylight. This is not at night.
It's not at night.
So the car pulls off, obviously slowly, and Maisha's like, I thought that was your friend. Does Maisha know this person?
She couldn't see the person. Okay. I couldn't see the person.
Okay.
The car was fully tinted.
Wow.
Blackout. In the Bahamas, it's illegal to drive with your front windshield tinted. Tinted all the way down. Mm-hmm. You could have the very top tinted, but not all the way down. Mm. It was tinted all the way down. You couldn't even see a shadow.
Wow.
And so the police officer is just like, he saw the car in my driveway a few times.
Sorry, hold on. The police officer said the same car that backed out, he has seen in your driveway a few times?
Yeah.
Wow. At your new location?
At the new location.
So that's why maybe Maisha thought that was your friend?
Yeah, I mean, if anything is possible.
Wow.
But I didn't see this car.
But the officer did.
I never noticed. I didn't notice a car follow me before. I've never seen the car in my driveway or in the surroundings. Maybe I didn't pay enough attention.
Yeah.
But I mean, when you're just living your life, you're not like looking around like, let me see this car would come up.
Yeah.
No.
Wow.
So the officer, he said he saw the car a few times, and even at night it was in the driveway.
Wow.
So a part of some of the things that had been happening was I would be in my apartment, and you know, in the middle of the night, you may hear something.
Yeah.
Like
a bump or something weird, whatever.
Something moving or whatever. And I just remember hearing something a few times. And then I started to think it was just anxiety.
Yeah.
Like my head, not good. What's going on?
Because of what happened to you the first time.
So I remember sitting up a few times at night and I'd be like, what is that? I hear something. Or I look out my room window and I'm like, it feels, you know, like that eerie feeling, like somebody's watching
you. Someone's watching you.
But I didn't think it was actually a person. And so when he said the car was there whatever night, in my mind, I recollected the time that I heard the thing at the window.
Yeah.
And at this point, which was probably already maybe 3 or 4 months in,
wow,
this is when I'm recognizing that, oh, hold up. All this been happening is real.
Yeah.
And then when it really got on and popping was when I was at work.
Oh, tell that story, girl.
I was at work one day in a massage, by the way.
Yeah. And you've been, give them context. So you've been working at this place for how long?
So I've been working at this company for, at that point, it had to have been, give or take, maybe 10 years.
And you, so these people know
They know they know my family. They know everybody.
Yeah.
And so my manager comes to the massage room and she's dangling her fingers and I'm trying to read her lips and I couldn't read it. And I'm just like, just give me a sec. And I was done with my massage and I went out and I'm just trying to figure out what was going on.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, your mechanic was here to get your car. In the name of Jesus, what mechanic, girl?
What mechanic? What y'all mechanic? Know me.
Y'all know me. My mechanic is your mechanic. That's my brother.
Yeah.
Big ups to Mikey.
Big ups to Mikey.
And then she has a look on her face like, oh yeah. Like she just remembering too.
Wow.
So I still didn't really think anything of it because I was just like, maybe.
So he tried to come to your, he came to
he
your
didn't work. Try. He came to work.
He came to your workplace and tried to take the keys to your car.
But then the keys to my car would be the keys to my house.
My God.
So I don't know exactly what he wanted. I just know.
But he wanted access to you.
He would have had.
Yeah. Access to you.
Yeah.
And I want to talk about that a little bit because when people are going through this sometimes, like the perpetrator can be very, 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 they're not dumb. These guys
methodical.
Are very methodical and to the point where sometimes they trick people around you.
Yeah.
You know what? I've been at work when my sister has dropped something off for me sometimes. You know, not everybody at my workplace knows who she is, but a lot of people do. But I remember one time she dropped like Starbucks off for me. They're like, oh, yeah, like this girl. And I'm like, oh, that's my sister. You know what I mean? Yeah. But this person, she probably thought that that was your mechanic and she would have did the wrong. But thank God that she came and checked with you.
But if she had access to my locker,
she would have just gave it to
him. She would have given it to him just thinking, oh, yeah, something gone wrong with Mikhail's car. Let's make sure to get fixed before she gets off. I don't think that she was going to try to do nothing malicious.
And yeah, she probably just didn't know.
So this guy, so there's two locations on this property and I'm like all the way in on the property and this person is at the location that's closest to the road. And so anyway, I walk over there and I'm just like, describe this person to me because I don't know who this is. I would have left a message if somebody was coming to get my keys.
Yeah.
And nobody knew. I figured maybe they got the names wrong. Mikhail or Raquel.
So there was a Raquel working at your workplace at the time.
There is the Raquel.
So at this point, are you kind of in disbelief? What are you feeling at this point?
I was delusional. Like really, because I didn't see any of this. Like I saw everything as one thing.
One-offs.
Yeah. I never.
Two first incidents, you're seeing them as one-offs, but do you think that you were doing that because your mind didn't want to accept the fact that you might potentially be being stalked?
Possibly.
Yeah.
I never gave it thought. Never, yeah. Ever gave it thought at that point. Never put it all together. And I think, yeah, it probably was too much.
It was too much for you to like comprehend. Yeah.
Because even during this time, I lost my father and yeah. So it was just too much happening
at one time.
All at once.
Yeah.
And yeah, so this particular day, this guy came to the spa, and I then asked, because when I realized that he wanted Mikhail, not Raquel.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I realized this when I got to the security where my car was parked. This is when I realized it was serious.
Yeah.
Sorry, guys. Let me tell the story correct.
Yes. We need all the context.
So I leave work and... And I'm so glad that I can laugh about it now because,
yeah.
Jesus, it's been a while.
Yeah.
I walk over to where our cars are parked and the security is just like, yeah, your mechanic was here and he just went over to the car and whatever. And I'm like, listen, my mechanic is Mikey. Everybody knows Mikey.
Yeah.
Come on now, people.
Like.
So this is when I realized it's serious.
So he came in.
So he came to the booth where the security was, and he points to the car that he wants to go to.
And the security let him?
Because he didn't know my name. I mean, I don't think that he knew my name.
Okay, so he went to the car.
So he went to the car. And in the Bahamas, a disc is on your windshield that has your name, your first and last name, your VIN number for your car.
Wow.
And the information for your car. That was back then.
Not anymore. Okay, thank God.
Yeah. So
now he knows your name.
Full name.
Knows your VIN number. Everything. Has a little bit of information about you now.
He knows where I work. Everything.
Wow. So this is like the third incident
that
you know of. Like the third run in that you know of. So this guy's showing up at your workplace, try to essentially attack you and kill you in front of your home or do something, kidnap you, and then also is getting familiar with your surroundings, which is very scary.
Yeah, because now neighbors are feeling like, oh, that's your friend. So when he comes at the house, they're not seeing him as a stranger, they're seeing him as a friend.
Wow. Okay, so the minute that the time that you realize that, hey, like I think I'm being stalked or something crazy is happening, was that day at the spa.
Yeah.
Okay.
It was definitely that day, because I remember speaking to the security at the booth and I'm just like, no, you need to call head of security because I need to see who this guy is.
This guy is.
And my managers, Yolanda and Sandra, they were on it. Like Sandra was like, no. Mm-hmm. Get head of security, go and look. We looked at the cameras and I didn't recognize the person. They came in with a kid.
Not stalking with your kid, child.
He came in with a kid, so he really looked like
normal.
Like a normal guy. They might have thought that he was my boyfriend or something.
Or something, you know. And I if you're, you know, for everyone that's listening, the reason why we're breaking down the story so much is because we want you to see the signs. Because as Mikkel said, she wasn't putting these things together, whether it was like subconsciously or not. She just wasn't, like, everything that was happening to her, unfortunately, she thought was one-offs, but there's a pattern here of what this guy's doing or what this person is doing. He's getting familiar with her surroundings and essentially making you feel like you, because what that does is it drives a wedge between you and your surroundings now, because you're like, I can't trust you guys.
Yeah. Definitely.
You guys are seeing what's going on. Oh, that's tough.
The trust factor was at minimal.
Of course. Because you're like, my life's in danger.
And the thing is, because it I don't want to say that it doesn't happen in the Bahamas. I've never heard of it.
Yes. And I was going to say that to you too. Like all of these one-offs that were happening to you, I'm sure in the moment you were thinking, why is all this stuff happening to me?
Yeah.
Because from what I know, like, you know, maybe now I'm not really sure. Like everywhere has like bad places and ghettos and dangerous, but Bahamas is like a place where it's like very family oriented. People know each other. Like
for
you
the
said,
most part, yeah.
like you said, like it's Mikey. That's my mechanic, you know, mm-hmm. right? And then the stranger. Okay. So, you know now that, hey, like you might potentially be being stalked. What are your thoughts? What are your next moves after that?
At that point, we called the police. The police came to the spa. And again, there is nothing they can do.
And not a restraining order.
They're saying that they don't know who the person is.
So it's tough to do
that. They can't find him. He didn't say anything. He didn't do anything.
Yeah.
So for me, it was just now my level of fear is like tripled.
Of course.
And like I said, I thought I was ghetto, right? Mm-hmm. And so now I'm like, I need the ghetto to come out because
I
need to protect myself.
I need to protect myself and my child.
From that point on, I remember not being the same. That day, that day in the spa, that changed.
Changed you.
Definitely.
How?
It changed the way I lived. I no longer felt free. I felt like I lived in prison.
Yeah.
Like I lived in prison for the last 10 years.
Wow. Did you feel like you were always like running?
I kept running.
You kept running.
So at that point, I moved out of the apartment that I was living in.
It's the second time you've moved now.
Right. And I moved with my mom.
With family.
And so as far as I'm concerned, this is a homestead.
Yeah.
Like, I'm protected.
Yeah, I'm protected here.
Yeah, and I remember I used to make a joke because I'd be like, protected by Viper, stand back.
Stand back.
Because I have 28 cousins, males.
Wow.
In my head.
Shout out to your cousins.
Big ups to them.
Yeah.
And I'm just glad I didn't get them in trouble.
Yes.
Because I remember feeling like, once I'm at homestead, nothing's going to happen to me. I'm good.
Yeah.
Not that they lived there, but
still,
everybody knew
who everybody was. So you moved back home with Maisha, with your mom and your stepdad, was it?
Yeah, my stepdad.
So it's just you guys in the house.
Yeah.
Okay. So now let's fast forward it to you living at your mother's house. You think it's homestead. You got 28 male cousins around. This is like your area. Like this is,
man, I'm thinking I'm good.
You're thinking you're amazing. Let's fast forward.
But I didn't. Let me just clarify though. I thought I was good, but not good enough to talk about, to just be living normal.
Yeah.
I didn't live normal anymore.
So you were still running. You still were scared, but you were like, I'm at home.
Rebecca, I'm talking about when I got off work, someone dropped me home every day.
Wow.
I basically was like a celebrity.
Yeah.
I just needed that celebrity money.
Yeah. Period. God, that celebrity money now in Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Period.
But that was practice.
Come on.
That was practice, this.
Won't the Lord do it?
I had security.
Won't the Lord do it?
I had drivers. I mean.
Come on.
And I'm talking about every day.
I said, won't the Lord do it? Won't he prep you?
So that was practice, girl.
For the win. Glory to God. For speaking in tongues in this place.
Girl, let's receive it.
I receive it.
Without fear. So for this long period of time, I was being dropped and picked off from work and anything I needed to do, food store runs, it was with somebody. It was with mostly a guy, a cousin, a coworker, male coworker. I was still single then.
Yeah.
So I was not committed to anybody.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember feeling like I need to find somebody.
Yeah.
I need a man so I could be safe.
Be safe.
But that's neither here nor there. Let me finish telling the story.
Yeah. But no, that's that a lot of times women that are being stalked feel that way.
And I think we don't get a chance to talk about it. Like, you don't have anybody to talk to. You can talk to it to a friend, mm-hmm. and sometimes they don't understand.
No.
And our actions as a result of the thing that we went through put us in more danger.
Yeah.
So let me finish tell you the dangers that I ended up putting myself in.
Yeah.
Because of this thing that happened.
Mm-hmm.
So at this point, I was just getting tired of this cycle of being stuck in the house and not being able to do what I did. I was a social girl.
Girl. I seen them pictures, Chad.
Girl, I was social.
You were a hot girl. Still are.
I love to be on the streets.
You like to go out.
I love to go out, girl.
And just enjoy yourself.
And and that changed.
Yeah.
For a while, I still did it. I still went in the club. I still went to every event that was going on, but I always had anxiety.
Yeah.
I was just like, who's the person?
Yeah.
Who's this guy?
Yeah.
Anybody that's no, I didn't want no new friends.
Girl.
I didn't want no new friends. Don't come, then don't step fast.
Of course, because you're on defense.
Step to me slow.
Slow. So now that, okay, so your anxiety is like through the roof. And how was that? Before you tell the story really quickly, how is that affecting your relationship with your daughter? Like, how's your mental health affecting your relationship with Maisha at this point?
Hindsight, hon.
Okay.
I only could tell you hindsight because at the moment, I was trying to protect me.
Yeah.
I protected her. I wanted to protect her physically, and I still didn't know how.
Yeah.
I didn't know how, and I didn't know what to do. And I did what I thought was best. Mm. At the time, which was to be with my mom and to be around family who I would think would have my back.
Yeah.
But when I got to that point where I was tired of always being at home, I remember telling my mom, I'm going to go by Sharon. Mm-hmm. I'm tired of being in this house.
Yeah.
I am done. Mm-hmm. Nobody's going to have me stuck in here.
Yeah.
And she's like, Macal? And I'm like, no. No. Mm-hmm. And I went over. So Sharon is a auntie.
Mm.
Grew up with her. She's always been the auntie.
Yeah.
But she's been a great neighbor, a great nurse. She's looked out for me my entire life. Yeah. And I wanted to go and heal her. Yeah. I was tired. I was just tired of just sitting up in the house. And this particular night I went out and she and I chit-chatted for hours because at that point I hadn't seen her for so long and she didn't know what was going on. And I got back home, I parked in the driveway, and just as I put my hand on the door, there was a hand to my neck.
Jesus.
There was a hand around my neck and a knife to my neck.
And this is in front of your mother's door?
This is in front of my mom's door.
What time is this?
It had to have been like midnight.
Midnight. And this is the day when you're like, I'm tired. Like, I'm going out. I'm not hiding.
In my head, I'm like, did this person hear me say, how did they know? Like, it was crazy.
So this person was definitely in your vicinity.
And I couldn't understand it. And
wow.
So I don't remember screaming. I just remember saying, kill me. Kill me.
To like, the perpetrator?
Done. I was done. Kill me because you ain't going to kill me in front of my child. kill me. Yeah. And you ain't going to go in here and kill my mother. Kill me now. Wow. And my mom heard my voice. She heard me saying, kill me. But she didn't, I don't think she knew what I said.
She just heard you.
She just heard my voice. And she says,
from inside the house.
From in the house. And she says to her husband, I think I hear Kel's voice. I hear Kel's voice. I could just remember hearing her say that. Yeah. I hear Kel's voice. Go out there, go check. Go check on her. And by the time as her husband got out, the person ran off. And to me, it was like taunting.
What? On like, foot?
On foot. In my head, I'm just like, why did you just kill me? Like, what are you trying to send me crazy? Like,
yeah.
What are you doing?
So this is like at this point, they're emotionally, physically, mentally, spiritually trying to run they're playing with you at this point.
They play me. They're playing me.
And so your stepfather comes to the door, right?
He comes out. And he was very, very calm because he was just wearing boxers and a t-shirt and just like, he came out of bed and he's just like, well, you know.
What's going on?
Because I didn't really scream. Really, I didn't scream at all.
So in that moment, you wanted him to kill you?
I already had anxiety so much. I was just like,
do it.
Just do what you're doing. Like, what are you, you know, big ups to our dad, Pastor Emmanuel.
Mm-hmm. Shout out to dad.
He says the devil is a goat.
He is.
And this guy was a goat.
Yeah.
So it was taunting, like the devil.
It was taunting
just,
you at this point.
Just playing, just like dangling just all around.
Yeah.
And we called the police. Nothing they can do.
Because you didn't see him.
I didn't see him.
So when he ran, because he put his mouth, did he put his hand over your mouth?
He put his hand to my neck.
To your neck and then held a knife to your neck.
Right.
And then, did he say anything to you? Like, did he say, like, don't scream, don't say anything?
I don't remember if he said anything. Yeah. I don't think that he did.
You're really the one that was just speaking to him.
I just remember speaking, yeah.
So when your stepfather comes out, do you turn around to see, like, try to get a glimpse of this person?
I was just so scared. I was like, the guy just ran off. And then I started, like, screaming to show him, but the guy ran off. And he went in the direction where the person went to. But, it's a busy street.
Yeah.
He didn't see anybody.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't see anybody. And so I don't remember how much time went by. I just remember my godmother had passed away from breast cancer. And so I started this movement with in the organization where I worked at the time.
Yeah.
So we went for the walks.
Yeah.
The Susan Komen walk. And I remember the night before the Susan Komen walk.
So you're mourning at this point too.
Oh yeah. So I was mourning my godmother and my father.
You had lost your father.
So yeah, they died 2 or 3 months between each other.
Between each other. So you're being fully stalked at this point, and you are also losing protectors in your life, people that you love, people that you care about.
Yeah.
As you're going through this, and your mental health is deteriorating. Essentially, because you're feeling like this person's like legit playing with you.
I mean, there was a point where I thought I was crazy. I thought it was in my head.
You thought you were just seeing things.
Just seeing things because, like, there was nothing to point to.
Yeah,
there was literally not even a footstep to say that this person stepped here.
So this person was literally stalking you from the shadows.
Yeah,
but trying to get his hands on you at every chance that he got.
Yeah. I never thought of it that way, girl. The way you say it, it's just, you say it different.
Yeah.
But this particular night, I was in bed and I remember hearing my window.
Is this at your mom's house still?
At my mom's house.
Okay. And this is the third place that Mikkel has lived throughout this horrible, tragic journey.
Yeah.
So she's running, like she said. She's moving from place to place. You're at this thing happens the night before your auntie's walk for, you know, to honor her. You're in bed.
Yeah. And I hear, so in the Bahamas, well, not everybody has these windows, but my room window particularly had these, like a slide up window.
Okay.
And then the screen. And I love air conditioning. I love the cold. Oof. That's why I moved to Canada. So I really love the cold. I love AC. So I always had my windows closed. And during the night, I heard the window and it's dark. Lights are off. I sit up and I just take a glance over to see if I actually heard what I heard. And I didn't look at the window enough to know if it was really open.
Yeah. Because you're still in your sleep, kind of.
Yeah. And I'm guessing now that it was open. And so I put my head back on the pillow and I go back to sleep. Within a minute, 2 minutes, I see a head coming in my window. And so I scream. I scream.
You wake up a minute or so after, and the screen part that you said was there, that was removed?
It was removed by the time that guy had his head in the window, yeah.
Wow.
But when I opened my eye and I took a look around initially, I didn't pay attention to if there was a screen
or not
because I didn't think that the screen should be out.
Yeah.
I just looked around because I was just thinking maybe something, my Yisha came in the room or something like that.
Yeah.
Not that somebody would be coming.
Crawling through your window.
So my...
In the middle of the night.
My mom came to the room first. And she's like, Mikel, what happened? And I was like, somebody was to the window. And I show her the window. And she called out for her husband. Her husband runs outside. And he doesn't see anybody. And he's outside for like an hour just pacing.
Looking. It's getting out of control.
It's out of control. And at this point, he's just like, are you sure? He's like, you sure? Like, are you sure?
That is crazy? Devastating.
You sure? And that's what I started to really feel ashamed.
Feel shame.
Because initially I felt protected. Like everybody would protect me. Yeah.
Yeah.
They got me.
Mm-hmm.
And then as the story kept going.
Yeah.
And continues, it was just like becoming embarrassing.
Nursing.
Because it was like, you always have a story to tell, girl. Like,
why did
drama keep coming?
Let's talk about that. What do they call that? They call that like what? Victim shaming?
Yeah, it is.
It is because you know how there's people that, you know, there's always something crazy happening to them. So sometimes people think that they're the bearer of bad news, but that really could be someone, the trajectory of someone's life. And I think I've experienced that myself where I didn't have a stalker, but I was in an abusive relationship mentally and physically. Mm-hmm. And there was always something. I want to really talk about this. There was always something happening to me.
Yeah.
Always. So anytime that I was around family or people that I thought I really could trust. And I wasn't like when I was younger and I was in that situation, I didn't have the discernment that I had now. So I was going through these things and I would tell people like, this is what happened. This person did this to me. This person did this to me. Da, da, da. And it was hard for people to be around me because it was like, you're the girl that always comes with bad news. You're the bearer of bad news. You again, like you're going through this again, like the girl that cried wolf. And I really want to talk to that and speak to that because that makes people that are going through things hide in the shadows.
And that's what I did.
And knowing your personality, I feel like you're one of those people that don't really want to burden people. Like you like to just, you know what I mean? Try to figure things out.
I wanted to be Miss Independent.
Yeah. And you thinking, I love that you said that I was around everybody and I thought that everybody had me, but it came to a point where they started looking at you like, are you crazy?
Side-eyeing me.
Side-eyeing you. That's so hard to go through. It's so painful.
I couldn't beat all those people up.
Girl.
So now I start getting the side-eye. I start feeling it. I start sensing it. And stop wanting to tell people anything
anymore
that was happening because it was always something happening.
Yeah, with Mikel at the time.
Yeah, like, oh my God, Mikel,
yeah.
Always a story.
Yeah.
Flat tire or, you know, like the story just became so Lifetime movie-ish.
Yeah. Me too. Mine was really dramatic. I'm not even gonna lie, sis. I wasn't getting stalked. Like I can't even compare what I went through to what you went through.
We don't have to compare, but I mean, crazy is crazy.
Crazy is crazy. You're right, 100%. Because I feel like sometimes we like to compare our pains and try to like invalidate like how what we went through. But that's how I felt. I felt crazy. a lot of the times. I felt crazy. I remember I would sit and be like, you're crazy. Like this, you can't be going through this.
Like, see how the enemy does that.
Yes. And literally, and mind you, I was putting, like, you weren't putting yourself in these situations, but I was actually opening myself up to these situations because I was completely traumatized. But I felt very, very isolated. I felt very alone. And I felt like I was a bearer of bad news. And I felt like I can't keep saying the same story. And rightfully so, because they're human beings, right? Like if you, like for you, your enemy was being stalked and your life was being put on the line. Mine was too. There's still stories that I went through in that situation and just like other things that I went through in my life that I still haven't told anybody, that only God knows. Mm-hmm. Because at the time it was just you're just so invoking so much of my memories and just like my emotions, because I just felt so alone.
Yeah.
I didn't want to speak.
Good for you to tell the story though.
Oh girl, this is helping me too.
Do you want to tell me the story?
Girl, no, this is giving therapy, but I felt alone and I'm just feeling how I felt at that time. I just felt so alone and I felt like I couldn't tell anybody. And I felt like I was running and also living in the shadows too. Because it was a lot of shame.
So we the shadow girls.
Girl.
We were
the shadow girls. That's just our experience.
Sweets. I came up.
Girl, of course you done came up, period. I came up.
Y'all hearing me right now, let me tell you. I did not want to be love seen. That. I didn't want to be heard. I wanted to just kind of hide out.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, that's what I did.
Yeah.
So when I...
What year are we at now?
Girl, I don't even remember. We're at 2015.
Okay, 2015. So after that situation happens at your house, this person tries to come through your window. What are Mikel's steps and actions after that?
I was done. I was like, you know what? I need to... My mom has a house on another island. I was like, I need
another
to...
Another island?
Yeah. So I wanted to go hide out. She lived in the... She had a house, a cabin in the woods.
That's... No, was it like really like a cabin in the woods?
It was. I'm real.
So you picked up Maisha and went to a cabin in the woods? So
I didn't carry her initially.
So you... Okay.
I went first and I... cleaned up the place because no one
was living
my
there.
My mom would go for the breaks, like summer break or whatever. I hadn't traveled there for a while, and then, you know, the little bougie lifestyle. Mm-hmm. I needed to go first to make sure that we get some contractors up in the place and get some AC in the house and just, you know, kind of get things going. So what I did was I went to my manager and I was like, I gave her my resignation letter.
After working there for how long?
15.
15 years.
Yeah.
So uprooting your life, like letting go of your success, leaving your daughter behind because you just think that's what's best for her. Because at this point, I think you know that person. At this point, I'm thinking you know the person's after you, not anybody else.
This ain't playing.
He's not playing.
This hit already ramped up. I mean, I'm telling you the short version of the story.
Yeah.
The different little things that happen in between, like I said, like... I bought a new tires for my car.
Yeah.
And then a day later, 2 days later, my tire would be flat.
Wow.
Not that I drove on something. You could see somebody slit the tire. And so at this point, people are just like, who, man, did you take?
Oh, let's talk about that too. We got to talk about that too, because for people that are listening, and if you know anybody that's going through this around you, it's the shame that we put on people. Like I've heard this so many times, like in a lot of documentaries that I've watched and stuff like that, they blame the woman and say like, well, whose man did you make jokes? Like whose man did you take?
It's not funny.
They essentially try to say like, you know, whatever you have sexually, like they must have really liked it. That's why they're following you or putting that shame on you when I'm fighting for my life.
Yeah. I got some of that too. Like,
let's girl, stop
what
that.
What kind of
you got?
Yeah. I got the one that I don't want nobody get because, because obviously y'all crazy out
y'all
here.
Y'all are crazy.
So at that point, I was
that's another layer
I wasn't even
shame.
Sleeping with nobody. I was like, girl, I'm going
to I don't even think you're open to like being with anybody
I
at this
want,
point.
I don't want
to
see nobody because... This ain't working, child. I just wanted to just be me.
Yeah.
And I grew up with brothers and all those cousins and stuff. So I was kind of the boyish girl.
Yeah. the tomboy.
So I dress like a girl, but I like to hang out with the boys.
I was like that too.
I would be I under still the like hood. That. I would be under the hood with my brothers.
Period.
Hand me the wrench.
Yeah.
And so for me, I would be out a lot, but I didn't have sex with a bunch of different people.
Yeah. And so for that to be put on you, that's another layer of shame.
Like a load.
A load. So now Mikkel moves from her mother's house into a cabin in the woods.
I had no neighbors for at least a mile, half a mile.
Wow. And how long did you live there?
I was there for about 9 months. And this is where the story twists and it gets a little different. So I moved to this place and... so I always was, you know, had some concern about my fitness,
yeah,
and my health. And so I always would go jogging. Jogging cleared my mind and I don't have to talk to nobody and I just could be by myself.
Yeah. Like a place, it's a safe place for you.
Yeah, it's my happy place. Mm-hmm. And where my mom's house is, I mean, I'm kind of adventurous. So for me, that was cool. Like it was a new adventure. At this point, I could hear when people come. I could see when they're coming to the house. I could literally see like when they're coming.
Yeah.
And so now I'm just learning the surroundings. Like, I'm a movie just came back to me, but I can't remember what it was. Jennifer Lopez.
Yeah. I think when she's being stalked too.
Her husband
or somebody like abused that. He was abusing her. Yeah.
And so I remember her like learning to walk silently.
And train, basically. Yeah, I remember that movie. It's intense.
And I did the same thing to my daughter. I trained her to listen. Wow. Listen to footsteps in the night. If you hear someone walking, you know, be aware.
Yeah.
So now I moved to this house and this cabin in the woods. And I went for a jog one day and I ran into this guy. I thought he was really cool. We hung out for a bit. He always looked out for me. You know the girl things that happen, the car tire go flat.
You're living in a house, so renovation, small things like that.
So he was around to help me with those things. And then eventually we started dating.
So you found love.
We started dating.
Okay, well, you found love in a hopeless place.
Why are we talking about love, though?
Well, did you feel like you loved him at that time?
No, I wasn't interested in love.
Oh, so protection.
Yeah.
Okay. That's fair.
Yeah.
So you're just going to ignore the fact that I said found love in a hopeless place and just Rihanna's like, okay,
I'm
cool.
I'm just like.
No, let me just be quiet.
I'm just like,
So you're like on fight or flight. Like you're on fight. Like you're fighting for your life at this point.
Straight up.
But was the guy nice though?
He was a nice guy.
Okay,
he was cool. A nice island guy that I assumed.
Okay.
And so we kicked it off and it was cool. But I didn't want nothing.
You didn't want anything serious.
And to the Christian people out there, this is me being real.
Period. Saints. And the ain'ts. Yeah, there was a time when we was out here living our best lives.
I was in the streets. And that's why when y'all see me in church and I praise Jesus.
Yeah.
Sweet. I know what I'm praising Jesus for.
Oh, come on. Come on, though. I'm going to give y'all church praise. We ain't in the streets, though, boo, Lord. Listen,
I know. I seriously know what I'm giving God praise for. I know.
Yeah.
When I be doing the most in church.
Yeah.
I'm doing the most because I did the most when I was in the club.
Oh, come on.
But even when I was in the club, when I was out, I didn't want anybody. I didn't want to be claimed by anybody. And so that was always my thing. I knew that at some point I wanted to be with someone. But I didn't want to be that girl that put up posts with these different men.
Yeah. I never did that. I don't think I ever posted
I don't think I ever posted a guy on anything.
Me too. I think somebody, I went to a party with somebody and the guy I was dating, I don't even want to call him my abuser because he can never abuse me in Jesus' name unless you want your life to scatter. But at that time, you know, that's what he was doing. And I think a friend of mine took a picture of us and put it on the internet or something like that. But that one thing about me, let me tell you something. Let me tell y'all something.
Tell us,
back
girl.
In the day, girl, you know, I was in the streets and with these, you know, I was with one guy for a really, really long time. And then I dated like one other guy, really, to be honest. I didn't date a lot, but One thing I knew about me is I wasn't going to post nobody because I knew these guys were claiming me. I knew that. Listen, I was dumb, but I wasn't that dumb. I was like, I didn't post nobody. Sure.
I didn't want to play that game. I won't post the guy and then somebody be like, oh, that's my boyfriend or.
Oh, girl.
So I think I might have posted like pictures with me with friends.
And okay. The person was in the pin. That's safe. Playing it safe.
Always.
Always.
Always. And see, those cousins that I talked about.
Yeah.
They were players.
So. Okay. So you knew the game.
I thought I was the game.
Okay. Come on, Mikhail.
No, I'm being real. I thought I was the game.
I didn't.
Because I grew up around these guys. They had your head twisted, child.
Girl, I was around none of those folks. I was the one in my head was being twisted, child. And not anymore. Like, try me and the Lord will scatter you. Yeah.
No, girl. I was like, no, ain't no man gonna have me like these chicks.
Okay.
So that's why I always was like, no, I'm not gonna claim nobody. I'm not gonna be around here like, oh, this is my boyfriend.
Yeah.
No.
But you guys started like hanging out, seeing each other.
So I know what I wanted. And I said what I wanted. Mm-hmm. I made it very clear.
Of what you wanted to this gentleman, okay?
I did. Oh, that's nice.
Yeah.
It's real nice. Real nice.
But, well, I mean, we'll get to it.
But I made it clear. I made it clear to the people that I met that I didn't want to have sex with them.
Yeah.
Wasn't interested.
Yeah.
And so who I was with.
Yeah.
But I didn't want a real relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And there were few and very far in between, but I hung out a lot.
Yeah.
And so this guy, I was straight up. I was like, I'm going through it, child. I don't need
that right now. But if you want to be cool, you want to hang out.
And so he was, to me, I mean, as far as I knew, he was good with the cool.
Okay.
And so I was a rider. I was ready to ride. So let's do this. Mm-hmm. And, like I said, he's a real he was a nice guy, but it came to a point where it's too much.
So, okay. So you meet this guy. You're living in a cabin in the woods. He's cool. He's coming around. He's helping you. You guys are hanging out. You let him know, listen, I'm not looking for a real relationship or anything like that because you don't even know what I've been through. But it's nice to have you around, whatever. And then he switches.
I mean, if I'm real, he probably didn't switch. He probably was always that way.
He was always that way.
And because I didn't pay enough attention to the red flags, real red flags.
Yeah.
The red flags was there. They were red, child.
Red, red.
But trauma is a serious thing. Like trauma really, really blinds you to a lot of those red flags.
Yeah.
And he became obsessive.
Really?
He became obsessive.
Like in what way?
I would get off work and he was outside work. I would go in the food store. He would come to the food store, whether I told him I was there or someone told him that I was there, he would come. He was my shadow.
Okay. Once so he went from living in the shadows to literally having a shadow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Like, I'm not going to make the comment on your podcast.
Yeah, girl.
But if he could be my skin, he would have been my skin.
He would have been your skin.
Like, he'd be on me.
Everywhere.
And it became too much.
And you're living in the woods at this point.
And, you know, I'm in my head, I'm safe. I'm good.
Yeah.
Nobody knows how to find me. And if they know how to find me, I know what to do with them.
Yeah. Did he live with you?
So after a while, although I remember telling him like I didn't want anybody living with me because my daughter was living there, I just remember it was always something. Mm-hmm. It would always be something for him to be stuck there.
At your house.
Yeah, just always be at the house. And then after a while, I stopped fighting it because it became convenient.
For you.
Yeah. One flat tire after another.
Another.
The car not starting. I'm in the back of the bush. Mm-hmm. Like, I drive for 30 minutes just to get to work.
To work every day.
And my coworkers don't know where I live. Mm. They don't really even know who I am.
Yeah.
Because once I moved, I became invisible.
Yeah. Yeah.
I became invisible. I would crack a little jokes here and there, but I literally tried to be invisible. I didn't want nobody
to know anything about you.
To know anything about me, because I didn't know who this guy was and I didn't know who he knew.
Yeah.
And at some point, being in this cabin in the woods with this person that I'm dating, I became suicidal.
Yeah.
I got to the point where I was like, this is it.
Enough is enough.
I'm done. My daughter was at my mom's friend's place and I was sitting on the beach one day and I was just like, should I slit my wrists or should I take these pills? Mm-hmm. And one of my boys, our CCCG family, he calls and he's just like, hey, he calls with so much energy. You know how he goes.
Girl,
he's energy, man.
Yeah.
And I needed that. I needed that light. He had already given his life to Christ at this point.
Yeah.
He didn't talk about Jesus, but he had something that I wanted. I didn't know I wanted it, but it gave me hope to live.
Wow.
I know it now. I didn't know it then. I just knew that he called and then I forgot what I was going to do.
While sitting on the beach, contemplating your life.
Yeah. There were two times that happened, and the two times that happened, he called.
Wow.
I didn't tell him anything. I didn't tell him what was going on. He knew some of the crazy stories. But at that point, he didn't know that I was sitting. I didn't tell anybody that part. I've only recently told my family.
Yeah. What you went through.
Some of what I went through. Mm-hmm. Anybody that know, like when I would tell the story, when I tell a portion of the story that I was okay sharing, because a lot of it I was embarrassed and ashamed about.
Yeah.
Living with this guy now that I'm uncomfortable with and is being obsessive.
Mm-hmm.
I was also ashamed of that because I was single for so long and people wanted to know, girl, when you gonna get married?
Yeah.
When you can get married, girl? I didn't have time to think about marriage when I was going through all these stuff. My friends didn't experience the things that I went through.
You were living a different life.
So they were able to focus on our relationship. And,
yes. And doing things.
And building themselves or whatever business.
While you're running for your life. It's not the same thing. It's not oranges. It's not like, no. That's different. So, and I really want to like speak to certain things as we go along so that you are never the person on the opposite end when someone's going through this. Like, asking people when they're going to get married is not cute. Like, if you don't have that rapport with them, like, I have friends, like, you know, we have rapport. Like, we get them like, girl, like, what is that? You know, whatever.
I think it's funny when you and I, who are single,
yeah,
we can be like,
yeah, yeah.
But no, you a married person or adult, whoever, coming to look at me and ask me when I'm going to get married. I didn't find a good man to get married to.
Period.
And I know I didn't want to marry those baddies there.
Yeah.
Not those who was like my cousins.
Girl.
Y'all up in the club.
That's not cute.
These people married and they cheating all the time.
Come on. Talk about it.
And so those things turn me off. So
of course.
I was like, and you know, I already told you, I thought I was the game.
Sure. You'll be careful. She was the game. I love that for you.
I was the game, girl.
I was being played, child, but I can never be played again ever in Jesus' name. Believe that.
I tell people I don't play games. I am the game.
I love it.
I don't play games.
You don't play games, though.
I don't. No. I mean, I'm being real now. I don't play games. I don't like it. I don't like to play Monopoly.
Yeah. Like, I'm not really for the board games and all that. So don't be playing with me.
No. Let's do something adventurous
and have fun.
Yeah.
So now you're living with this guy. Your enemy's suicidal. But thank God. Like, you know, I want to say this, too. Like, when... Sometimes we don't know what's going on with everybody around us that we care about and that we love. But one thing that I do believe that is if you really have love for that person, like your spirits are connected, because I think a lot of, you know, in society right now, it's a lot of surface level fake acquaintances. Da, da, da. I'm past that stage in my life.
Yeah.
Like I don't do that. Like if I say I love you and our spirits are connected. Like I know that for a fact. You know what I mean? And I feel like every time that like somebody, like even if I love you and our spirits are connected, you might be going through something. I don't know. I know like most of the time the Holy Spirit will nudge me. Like,
yeah.
There's something going on. Like depending on different intervals and levels. But when you get that nudge, whether you're a believer or not, and you don't know if it's the Holy Spirit, whatever it is, you think it's the universe, that's up to you. It's Jesus. It's the Holy Spirit. But check on that person.
Yeah. But you know, these days,
text and call.
They'd be like, oh, you know, I don't want to bother.
I don't want to bother people. That could be somebody's life.
But you know, back then people always, well, I guess I was moody.
Mm.
So people would say, oh, Cal Moody.
Mm. So that was another label placed on you.
So it was a label that was placed on me, but I was moody for a reason.
Mm-hmm. Well, my life was in danger. I'm being stalked. Like my life is upside down.
People didn't look at it as that.
Yeah.
People didn't look at it as that. I still had to go to work every day. Yeah, yeah. You've been stalking, you know, but I still need to live. I still need to eat.
I still need to pay bills.
Bills got to pay. Nobody's saying, oh, well, you've been stalked.
So let's help you.
No. So real life still had to go on.
Mm-hmm.
And at this point now, yeah, I became suicidal. I was embarrassed about ever talking about that part as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, like I said, I think I just told my sisters a couple of weeks ago or maybe months ago, that's how I felt at that time. And, yeah, I spoke to our brother.
Mm-hmm.
And he gives me a little light. He gives me hope.
Yeah.
And then he tells me to talk to his wife. So his wife was originally my friend who I worked with in the spa, and she moved up here to Canada. And they call me one night or whatever, and they're just telling me about moving up there.
Yeah.
I had already started looking
to leave.
To move. But I was moving to other islands. It would have been another island.
Just not Canada, though.
I didn't think about Canada.
Yeah.
I thought about Australia.
Yeah.
I thought about Europe.
Different places, yeah.
I thought about Miami, like Florida and stuff. But everything that I looked at was close. Like really, really close. I thought about those Australia and that, but what I really paid attention to was really close. So like Grenada.
Yeah.
Because I was just going to transfer from one hotel to the next.
To another.
And it was just safety. I just wanted to still have a job.
Yeah.
I didn't want to be without a job. So I looked at different, where like the properties where the hotel, that the hotel owned. And this friend is like, no, you don't even like the heat.
Yeah.
She's like, come up here for a visit.
And see if you like it.
And I never came up for a visit. When I came up, I came to live.
You came to live.
So I remember telling the guy, I was like,
this is the guy that was obsessive. So, you know, Mikhail at this point has been stalked by this person. And then she meets someone that, you know, she's like, hey, maybe this person can protect me. He turns around and he's obsessed with you.
He uses the things. And I don't know how much detail I gave him because I didn't give people much of my story. So he uses the fact that he can see that I'm afraid of life, really.
Yep. Manipulation.
To keep me
where he wants you.
Yeah, bound to him. And so after speaking to this friend of mine, I'm like, I knew I was going to move, but I didn't know where I was going. And I'm just like, yeah, we're not going to work. How about we just break up? I broke up.
Mm-hmm.
I had already broken up a long time in my mind. Cool,
but you were like, this is not going to work. We got to separate.
But I remember saying to myself, I'm going to just hang on until it's time to go.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember telling his cousin, because his cousin was always around us. I was like, this, like, you're going to have to help him.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't realize how serious
it was.
But I just was like, yeah, I'm done. Like, when you see me go,
I'm gone.
I am gone. I'm not going to look back. And I just remember I'm always feeling like, yeah. Just taking it for a joke. And I was supposed to leave April 2016, leave the island.
Mm-hmm.
But I left that island February of 2016. I was like, I couldn't do it.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't even wait it out.
You couldn't even wait it out.
I remember going to my then manager. Mm-hmm. I was like, girl.
I'm out of here.
She knew what was going on because I had a point where I was driving home from work. And there's this festival that happens on this island. Well, most of the islands. But that happens during this time of the year.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Around this time that is basically a party spot.
Mm-hmm. Like,
this is where all the hookups happen.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't go partying or anything. I didn't go to the event, but there I was driving home and a car was behind me too long and I panicked. I went berserk and I drove back to work and I just went there and I was shaking. I was crying.
Wow.
She was like, what happened? Like nobody understood because nobody knew.
Nothing. And you were just like,
so I told her,
mm-hmm.
I told her I'd been stalked. I told her I came there because she knew where the property I came from and she wanted to know why I came there.
Because
It's like out in the country, like it's a city girl.
Yeah, why are you here?
But I didn't tell her at first, but I had to explain so that she could understand why it was the way I was and what was going on.
Yeah. So she kind of knew what your story was when you told her, like, hey, I'm leaving and I'm not coming back.
Yeah. So now at this point, I'm shaking. I'm telling her that part of the story. And now fast forward to the February when I'm leaving, I'm like, I'm gone. Like, I'm gone, gone. She's like, no, you know, you're such a good girl. I am gone. I don't care.
Therapy, what? My life in therapy, girl, bad.
If I left the property that I was to for, that I was there for how many years? I only been here for 7 to 8 months.
I'm gone.
Baby, you gonna see my tail.
Bye.
And that's what I did. So February of 2016, I left that island. I went back to the city and had my farewell party and get togethers with my family and this ex, this guy comes. And
this is the same guy from the bush, the cabin in the woods that was crazy obsessed with you. So he comes to your farewell party.
He comes, yeah. And my best friend Justin at the time, we haven't spoken for so long. Justin. But I just remember Justin being like, you know, I don't feel right with this dude.
Mm-hmm.
Something just ain't right. And I was like, what do you mean? Because I just see him as an island boy.
Mm-hmm.
He's just an island boy. He's like, Cal, like all these things. Just
yeah.
He didn't. This just didn't just come pull up out the woods just like this.
Yeah.
Had to grow.
Yeah.
And he just put some of the pieces together. I remember him saying it. He leaned over on the wall. I don't remember what this place name, but at the bowling alley, that's where we had the little get together.
Yeah.
And he's just like, what do you want me to do?
Mm-hmm.
What do you want me to do, girl?
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, no, I'm leaving.
Yeah.
And he's like, are you running?
Mm-hmm.
And he looked me in my eye and I'm like, I look like I'm running? Yeah, I have a fast mouth. Like, do I look like I'm running?
Yeah.
He's like, but you don't have to leave if you don't want to leave.
Yeah.
And the next day, after that event, I left. But I left with this guy feeling like he was like, oh, I want you to come back.
Of course, yeah.
He got real close to my family. He was close to my family. He was a nice guy.
But you weren't telling your family what he was doing to you, though.
I didn't call it obsession. I didn't call it anything.
You just thought?
I was like,
this guy's just on me.
It's like, he just too trip. Let me just, give me space. Give me.
But he did threaten you when you were leaving, right? Didn't he say he was going to do things to you?
Oh, like he wanted to keep me there.
Yeah.
But I didn't even think that it was a threat.
Wow. And I, that's just your trauma response.
I didn't think that was a threat because he was supposed to be protecting me.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I didn't see that as a threat. I just felt like, oh, he's so in love
with you.
Yeah.
So you move. Thank God. Yeah. You come to Canada.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Father God.
My mental health restored.
But but I want to talk about that because you come to Canada. Finally, you made it alive. You come to Canada. Thank God for your brothers and sister, your brother and sister that told you to come here. Thank God for good friends, man.
Yeah.
Thank God for good friends. And I know that family. They've been there for so many people. Like,
yeah.
God
has some blessings for them.
Yeah. Major blessings. They're a city of refuge.
They're very sacrificial.
Very, very both. Shout out to them. So you come here and I want to just, okay. So you come here. And you're still being stalked.
And it's so funny that we keep saying stalk because I didn't call it stalking.
But you were in it and you were severely traumatized, but that's exactly what it was.
Yeah. Not until you say it. Just hearing you say it, it sounds so real. I just called it being bothered.
Being bothered. And I think a lot of women, and men, and I think a little bit in our community too. Like I feel like in our community too, we're just learning now. I think like we're in a great space now where we're learning about mental health, we're learning about emotional health, we're learning about, you know, taking care of ourselves and showing up as our best selves. And, you know, I think a lot of times when we are going through traumatic situations, we don't have language for it.
Yeah.
So we're just like, oh, you're being bothered. You're being stalked. You're being harassed. You know, don't worry. That person just likes you a little bit too much. But this person, when you move to Canada, I want you to, talk about what he starts doing when you move away. And also when you were there and you told him that you were leaving, he threatened your life. That's not being bothered. Telling you that he's going to keep you there and how he's going to keep you there, that's a threat on your life.
Yeah, I didn't think about it like that.
But that's because you were severely traumatized at the time. When I was in my situation, when this person would go off and kick me in the head, it was normal for me to get back in bed with him the same night. It wasn't you were getting your butt whooped. I didn't look at him as an abuser. I looked at him as I'm annoying. I can be annoying.
You did something.
If I had just not picked this fight, if I had not just gone through his phone, if I had not just brought up all the women, the plethora of women that he was sleeping with, maybe he wouldn't have chased me around the block and kicked me in the head. You know what I mean? So I understand where you're
coming. We blame it on ourselves.
We blame it ourselves, of course, because a lot, when you don't have a safe space, when you don't feel secure, when you are, your life is on the line, you just, everything is you. Because the only person that you have to really talk to when you don't have Christ and we're not in Christ that time is you. Yeah. Everything is internal.
And that's where you start rationalizing.
100%. You start ratcheting, like this person
I'm talking to the devil.
100%. Who else are you talking to? When I became really suicidal, I was like, I got to do this. I couldn't take the pain anymore. For me, I'm an emotional person. And for a long time, I hated when people say I was an emotional person, because a lot of the people that are around me, because of the way that I would, because of what I was going through and the way I would act and lash out and stuff like that and just whatever, you know, a lot of people equated my emotions with, negatively, you know what I mean? So growing up, becoming a woman and becoming like who I am, I just hated when people would be like, you're so emotional. Even though like I'm a crier, I cry at like when I see homeless people, I just like, you know, I'm an empath, you know what I mean? But like, you're so emotional. And I hated it so much. But now I have a lot of insight of who I am and who God has called me to be. I am absolutely emotional. I have a vast of emotions. Yeah. But the reason why I do that is because I'm so passionate about emotional health. I had to go through those things to really own that. And I'm an empath. So I need that to do the work that God has called me to do. I can't be emotionless.
And be bold and be
and
confident.
Be bold and be confident in that. Yeah. And yo, listen, I am emotional. Hello. Hi. Can anybody hear me out there? Yeah. I am.
Yeah.
I feel for the Lord. I feel for God's people. I feel for myself. I'm self-aware. Yeah. I know when I'm going through something. I can connect with my emotions. I can connect with your story. Like, I can't do this podcast if I'm not an emotional being.
That is very true.
Do you know what I mean?
That is what is needed.
100%. So I love that. But, you know,
that's just how people open up to you too.
I think so. I think I like to call myself a safe space. You know, I think it's just because I've been through a lot. I can relate with people. And I don't judge people because I know the crazy things that I've been through. So people can, like, if you tell me you killed somebody, I'm going to tell the police because, listen, you don't kill somebody. But I can sit there and listen to you and also empathize with you and understand where you're coming from. Yeah. It's a gift. It really is. And so now let's talk about you come to Canada. Thank God.
I didn't kill anybody.
She didn't kill nobody. Thank God, Chad. Because I would have.
I was close to it.
I know. I would have. Okay, so let's talk. You come to Canada and this person starts stalking you, but how now? What is he? So this
is
not
virtual.
It became virtual. So he's stalking your every move online and he's constantly calling you.
Yeah.
So how many times a day?
So even before I moved up here.
Yeah.
A normal day, if he trying to get through to me would be, he could call 20 times.
Wow.
He could call 20, 30. I mean, I always used to tell him he have no shame. I said, you have no shame.
Does he have a job? Girl.
Well.
I guess that was his job.
I don't know, but I just know. I 30 calls, 20 calls.
Girl.
5, I think, is good.
Did they have block at that time, girl?
You mean when I was here?
When you came here and he started like just calling and also like being close with your family.
So initially I didn't block him because my daughter was still back there.
So you want, okay.
So I wanted to still keep peace.
Yeah.
I still was trying to like.
Just manage that.
It was just so much at every point was to manage.
Wow.
So my daughter and at the time I had a close friend that was helping me with my Aisha. And so he had to help them basically because they stayed in the house.
Yeah.
And I was just trying to keep as much peace as possible.
As you can, which is tough. So now he's calling you every single day. I want to go back to what your friend Justin said. So your friend Justin essentially insinuated when he started piecing all the things that had happened to you.
And I don't know if he was even being serious or if it was like a joke. But
he said it to you in passing that this might be the guy.
I only remembered him saying it because someone else referenced the same thing.
So people are starting to put it together a little bit around you.
Not people. Yeah. One or two people, yeah. but not the masses.
Because he's all now this guy from the cabin in the woods has made friends with your family now, just like how the other person kind of was coming around too. Interesting. So what does Mikkel feel like? Like, do you feel like now you're in Canada? You're trying to live this normal life, but this person from the woods is still stalking you. But what does Mikkel feel like? Are you putting things together? Are you thinking like, hey, this could be the guy?
No, and I didn't feel anything.
You didn't think that at all?
I didn't feel.
Nothing. You're closed off.
I was numb. I tried to deal with one thing at a time. Like how you're talking about the different parts of the story and putting it together. I didn't feel at the time I had the capacity to put it all together.
You didn't have room for that, yeah.
I dealt with one thing at a time. Today is this. Tomorrow could be something else.
Yeah.
So dealing with, okay, I have a child that is still there.
Managing the pressure.
And the thing is, I don't know if I was managing that pressure. I was still managing being a mother.
Yes.
She's in high school. She was getting bullied at the time. And even when I was there, I remember having to go to the school. So it was a lot of different parts of this puzzle that I had to put together and manage. So it wasn't like I was sitting around like thinking about this guy. Or being stalked, but it was still living life, still having to go to work, still having to manage moving to a new country.
Yeah, which is hard. So when you come here, do you find that you're still living in the shadows?
If I find that I still living in the shadows, the shadows was where I wanted to be.
So now let's fast forward. You come to CCCG.
So this friend of mine,
the same family. Okay.
They went to church.
Yeah.
I had already given my life to Christ. I think it was in 2014. But I gave my life to Christ and I went back out in the streets. But I didn't know I backslid. I thought I was a Christian. Yeah. I thought I was good.
Yeah.
Because in my mind, I was good. Like, I didn't do bad things.
Yeah.
Because I knew some bad people. Mm-hmm. So I compared myself to them.
To them. Yeah, we do.
And I visited CCCG. And it's so interesting. I visited the church and there are two people that, I'm sorry that I was rude, y'all.
It was okay. You know, we're coming from a background of, no, that's all.
I love y'all so much. But dad came to me at the door when I was leaving because nobody ever wants to leave church.
Yeah.
So after church, there's another church.
100%. I wasn't one of those people though.
No, girl.
You know me. I was out the door, chair. No, I wasn't trying to mingle with nobody, chair. I was gone, chair. Gone with the wind, fabulous. I was out of there. Yeah, my sister. We still do that now, Jen.
Yeah.
We still do that now.
Gone with the wind.
Oh, yeah. Listen, I love being in church. I love socializing and getting to know other people and just like, I love that whole thing, but it ain't going to be church after church. I say hi, who do I? I got to say hi to whoever I got to and I'm out of there, bro. I'm like exhausted.
When you're done, you're done.
I'm done.
But this family stayed. They had the church after church. Mm. And I wasn't for that.
Mm-hmm.
So I sit in the car.
Mm-hmm.
If they would stayed in there for an hour, I stayed in the car for an hour.
Mm-hmm.
If they stayed in church for the extra 2 hours, I stayed in the car
You were gone.
2 hours.
Yeah.
I didn't have a car or anything then, so I was riding with them.
Mm-hmm.
But before all of that, I visited this first time and like pastor came to the mm-hmm. door and he's just greeting me.
Mm-hmm.
And he's literally, you know, the church is mm-hmm. loving. Everybody mm-hmm. loved to hug and mm-hmm. just kind of check on you, really.
Yeah.
And I give him the stink eye.
Because
I'm like,
I think we've all done that.
One, I'm like, who is this man coming to hug me? Like,
yeah.
Who you can't touch me.
Yeah. And a lot of churches are not like that. Like, you know, they don't get to actually have that type of interaction with the pastor. So,
yeah. Well, I didn't really go to church. I grew up in church, but at that point,
you didn't really go to church.
I churched myself. I was one of those people who didn't like.
I think I did that for a long time too.
Or organization.
Yeah, the organized religion.
The organized religion.
Girl, I feel you.
I was running away from it. I was like, mm-hmm. no, that's not for me.
Yeah.
And so now, really and truly, it was some cultural things too, because I didn't know about Africans. Mm-hmm. One thing I knew about Africans was the ones that I met when I was in London. Who tried to scare me?
Girl.
So now.
Not the scabbers.
Those are the scabbers. And that's real.
That is real.
So now meeting this pastor, and I didn't see him as pastor. I saw him as a man, just a man.
At the time, yeah.
I'm just like, this man is coming to hug me and he wants to, you know, like get to know me.
Mm-hmm.
No. Oh, no. I was like, if you don't get, sir.
Yeah.
So I stayed away for a long time, but when I did come back, I came back to leadership classes.
Yeah.
And that's what kind of got me in church.
Yeah.
Leadership classes taught me so much. And I was able to spend time with people like Doreen mm-hmm. and just get to know other families mm-hmm. and especially the females at that time. I didn't want to be around males. And my now mentor, back then, you know, he was so full of energy, just coming to come hug me too. And I'm just like,
back up,
dude.
Yeah.
He was like, can we go to Tim Hortons to chat? I didn't know nothing but no Tim Hortons. Tim Hortons to chat.
Yeah.
Sir, ain't you married?
Yeah, girl. Well, of course, like, that's just like, it's just trauma and just you knowing your surroundings and in your new place. So of course you're gonna act like that. So you meet all these great people at CCCG. CCCG completely changes your life because I see it change your life completely.
Yeah.
You bring Maisha up here now.
So yeah, so I started attending church and in the fall, because I moved up here in April. And yeah, this is my anniversary.
Oh my gosh. Congratulations.
My anniversary is in a few days.
Congratulations. I love that for you. From here, from all of us here at Speaking Arrangements.
Oh, I love it.
No, congrats. I love that.
Thank you all.
So, okay. So we're kind of getting near the end of the podcast, but so you come here, Maisha comes up here now. So now you don't have to manage really the relationship with this dude. But this, I want people to understand that this dude is still calling you down, thinking that you're with him. So now you block him off everything. Cause I know you said that.
Yeah, I blocked him. I blocked him on everything. I had a different number because at the time I had a number that he had access to.
Okay.
And I changed my number.
Okay.
And over time he ends up getting the number.
But from somebody. Okay.
And I blocked him again.
You blocked him again. So ladies, men, gentlemen, whoever's listening, as you guys see the trajectory, she had systems in place, even though you were going through this and you were severely traumatized and stuff. Like, she moved to put her, I know it seems like if you're going through something like this, you need to move quickly, because sometimes the people that we go to, like the police and stuff,
they're not able to help.
So you need to move quickly. Yes, Mikkel is a mother and she had a daughter. So that might have, you know, like put a fire under her a little bit more. But like, if you have to move, move. If you have to live with family, live with family. Like, if she didn't live with family and she was at home by herself, like, I need you guys to follow some of the systems that she was, that she used. Also, for the people around the person that's going through this, look for the signs. There's signs. There's tall tale signs. You can tell when someone is like a bubbly social person and then now they're not. And this is not only if someone's being stalked or anything, like just when things are going on with people. Yeah. I feel like we live in a society that's so fast. We don't stop to pay attention to the people that we care about until it's too late.
Yeah.
No. Pay attention to your surroundings. Be intentional about your relationships and people that you love, and even people that you don't love, that you might not have a rapport with. Like, pay attention. I try my best to do that. I know it can be a lot because we're all busy and we're doing all this stuff, but you have to. Okay, so now you're living here. You're living the Canadian dream. You're minding your business.
The dream.
Listen, you're minding your business. You meet a great church. You have some great authorities. You have friends and family now. And this guy from the bush is still,
this guy from the bush is still, finding me on any social media platform. There was a point where I had stopped being social.
Yeah.
I mean, even on my regular Facebook page,
mm-hmm.
I don't post about myself. I don't post about nothing that I do.
Yeah.
Like, people post where they went to dinner and all that kind of stuff. I never did that. I never thought about it.
Yeah.
I didn't have the opportunity to
can do that,
to just enjoy and just really enjoy.
Wow. So this keeps on going on. Like, we're in like year 8 or something now, so this keeps going on.
You want to keep going on in 2023?
Okay, so that's what I was saying. So like, this guy hasn't stopped.
So just up to a few weeks ago, I was like, this is enough.
Yeah, still calling.
This is enough. Just still sending messages. Still, and the thing is, he doesn't say anything derogatory.
Yeah.
It's always like, hey, I just want to be your friend.
No, that's not.
And I think what really, really, like, my mom, and I remember somebody else asked, my sister had asked at one point, like, why does it make you so angry? What made me angry, people, I don't want nobody rule my life. I don't like that. I don't like somebody trying to back me into a wall and make me make a decision that I said.
If I say no, it's a no.
It feels like rape.
Period. Trigger warning. It does.
It feels like rape.
Yeah.
I said no. I don't want to be your friend. I don't want to talk. I don't want to say hi.
Yeah. I don't want nothing to do with you.
And I think what I kept feeling was like, I weren't even in love with you. Like, why are we doing this all these years?
That's really interesting. Okay, so I want to come to a place where, because I know we talked about this. So you live in Canada now. Everything's like, you know, going well. Trials and tribulations, but you're working through it. This person is still trying to contact you. Where, let's talk about this quickly and then we'll wrap it up. But when did you say enough is enough? And you're like, I'm going to get on social media now. I'm going to have 2 podcasts. I'm going to put my business out there. I'm going to put my face out there. Enough is enough.
Well, I didn't make that choice. Jesus made that choice.
But you still had the boldness to do it. So
I was, at the grace.
The grace, yeah.
And it was back in 2017. Wow. So the difference is, I didn't feel like I was doing anything.
Okay. So you just felt like the Lord was leading you.
It felt like the Lord said to start to share my journey.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know what journey at the time. I didn't even understand the journey.
Yeah.
But I knew that I was supposed to share God's word.
Yeah.
And how that looked, I didn't really know. I asked the Holy Spirit, and as I felt like at the time, because I was a babe, I shared it as best as I could.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's how I became social.
That helped you.
So it wasn't Mikhail, it was Journey in Christ.
It was Journey in Christ, yeah.
So I remember just always making sure that Journey in Christ, not put my name.
You're not your name, yeah.
Even with posts, I didn't want my picture for a long time. If you look back from 2017 to like 2019, I only put scriptures.
Yeah.
But
now it's totally not like that.
Because
the Lord has delivered you, period.
Okay, so let me talk about the deliverance before we end, because I talked about the tragedy, But
we gotta talk about the deliverance.
Unless you want me to come back another time.
No, girl. Go ahead and talk about the deliverance, Chad. We hitting on a little bit here, so we'll wrap it up. But we'll talk about the light at the end of the tunnel, because people have to know that there's a light at the end of the tunnel.
I told y'all to go and get your Kleenex. You should have got some popcorn and get a little something to drink.
Yeah, girl.
See, because we're back. I didn't know I talk a lot. But
I know that
you just have to get to know me. Maybe it's one on one. I talk.
We chatted up, girl. You know, we come on, girl. We be in the church talking chat
forever. But would you ask me again?
I asked you, let's talk about, because I know you said we talked about the tragedy, but for everybody that's listening, that's going through this, whether it be like emotional health, mental health, whatever it is that you're going through, there's always a dark time. But let's talk about the good, like the light at the end of the tunnel for you, and like the deliverance aspect of like what you went through and how you, who you are now, like so full of light, a mentor, a great mother, just a great daughter, just a great, phenomenal businesswoman. Now people are coming to you and speaking about their journey. Like, how did that come about?
Deliverance came. It was a journey.
Yeah.
Deliverance, and that's good. It was a journey within itself.
Yeah.
Deliverance came with wisdom, with the knowledge of who I am. Mm-hmm. I didn't have an identity. I identified myself in the shadows.
Yeah.
I identified being hidden for so long that I didn't spend enough time to figure out who I was.
Right.
And I ran for so long that I didn't have the time to like unpack.
Yeah.
And so there came a point when it was time to unpack. It was time to sit.
Yeah.
And when I had the opportunity to rest.
Oh, I love
Sabbath
that.
Rest.
I love that for you.
When I got to the point where I could rest, like I didn't have to pack a bag and run.
Yeah.
And people understand that for everybody, it may not really look like running.
Mm-hmm.
You just see they're not content.
Yeah.
Because I don't think people thought that I was running. People thought that I just like to travel.
Yeah. And move around.
Yeah. They just thought that I mean, people didn't know I moved from apartment to apartment. They didn't know where I live in the first place.
Yeah, exactly.
So the apartment part, they didn't know. But when they see me move from one place, like country, city, town, they didn't know that how deep
what you were going through
things was, because mm-hmm. I, like I said, at that point I was ashamed.
Yeah.
I was too embarrassed to tell people. But over time, the deliverance came with having the wisdom and knowledge, knowing who I am, not only in Christ, but I was able to identify my purpose.
Yeah. And your vision,
and all of that matters. What are you living every day for?
Yeah.
Not just to say, because I have a daughter, I'm just living for my daughter. You need to have more than just you living for your child.
Yeah.
You God has given each and every one of us a gift and things, tools, something, not just to help our family, but to help others.
Yeah.
So even when I lost CJ, my baby, I knew when I lost him, I was supposed to share my story
about that.
But I never shared it because so many things happened.
Yeah.
Like I didn't have an opportunity
to mourn, really.
No. But now with this deliverance, I'm not ashamed to share my story. I was ashamed to say that I got pregnant at 17.
Yeah.
I was ashamed because I was supposed to go to college. I was ashamed because I didn't do with what my parents, who tried to protect me, grew me up right.
Mm-hmm.
I went in the world, like I went mm-hmm. looking. I didn't know I was looking for trouble, but I went looking.
Yeah.
So all these things that caused me to be embarrassed and feel ashamed.
Yeah.
At this point now, I think it was at 2020, I wrote a book and I talked about giving your life to Christ, a metamorphosis of giving your life to Christ.
Yeah.
And through these transitions was where I was being delivered.
Yeah.
The boldness came when I got back here to Canada in 2021.
Yeah.
We have a service. It's called Come and See. Come and see what the Lord has done.
Amazing.
You know, God is good.
He's so good.
And he's timely because that come and see was no more shame.
I love that come and see. I shared my story about my revenge porn on there too.
And I remember when you shared your story.
Yeah.
I wasn't bold then yet though. I didn't even understand my story.
I wasn't either. To be honest, I wasn't either. I just know the Lord wanted me to do it. And through counseling, through my spiritual father, I said, let me do it. But even now, it's still hard for me to talk about that.
It takes time. These things take time.
Even though I have a podcast about it, I feel like even when I listen back to that actually particular podcast, I feel like there's so many parts that I left out of it. And I still felt like I never really told my actual story about that. But no, like I get what you're saying. Deliverance takes time, everybody. Like, it's a journey. You are being delivered constantly till the day you die. Like, you, it's not like a place like, oh yeah, like I go through this traumatic thing and then like you get a couple of sessions in of therapy and you're okay. No, it's a deliverance. It's a constant thing. You wake up. It's like love. You choose love every single day.
It's work.
It's work. It's for yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, deliverance took years.
And it's still ongoing.
Yeah. So that come and see, I remember one of our evangelistic ladies, yeah. She shared her story about an abortion.
Yeah.
And I remember, I shared my testimony after, but it was so much, like, I don't always remember all the stories.
Yeah.
So
me
much,
too.
It's so much stories.
Yeah.
But yeah, deliverance came with me telling the truth, really.
And it usually does.
Like when I sent you the message, I was being delivered when I sent that message.
I know that for a fact.
I heard Lola share her story, and I don't know. It was some. She didn't even talk about anything like this, but it felt a release. I felt a release in me.
Yeah,
and I was like, I told one of my friends, I was like, I'm done. I'm done. I'm going to share my story.
Yeah.
I'm going to share my story, and I sent you a message
right after. I was shocked when he sent that message. I was like, what?
I know. But I was like, that's it. I suck my teeth. I was like, that is it.
No more.
I was like, no. This is the thing that really, really pricked me. I started working somewhere, and the coworker, she saw me smile one day.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, oh, yeah, you should let us see that more.
Oh.
Ooh, girl, that hit deep.
Shout out to that coworker, though.
I thought my light was shining, girl.
Girl.
But with pain, like, I didn't know how to let it shine. This guy had already reached out to me. And so now, in a way, I wanted to be the person who I know I am.
You are.
But I still wanted to kind of don't be too out there. Because what if?
What if? The what ifs are tough. When I started realizing who I was and who God has made me to be, which is like this powerful, intense, like being, like just this really powerful, intense human being that the Lord has just built up. And honestly, if you don't know who you are, if you have a lot of insecurities, it's hard to be around me.
Yes. Yeah.
Because I think what people say is they say that I come off as intimidating. And mind you, I'm not here to toot my own horn. I'm not like, oh my gosh, the most secure.
You were strong.
Because my spirit is strong. I think a lot of times people say that I'm super confident. But if you know me and you're close to me, you know what I've done, how I've struggled with my confidence and my identity and knowing who I am. And also so much people have taken so much from me.
Yeah.
Because they see the light, but I didn't see the light. So they're like, this girl's full of light.
Yeah.
But I always just was, you know what I mean? And like a slave to people that would give me validation because I couldn't give it to myself. I didn't know where to find it. I didn't know who I was. I didn't have an identity. But now when I look to myself and I look at who the Lord sees me with that lens and that insight,
I'm
so powerful. My words are powerful. My words are healing. Like, yes. I know that. And I know that I have a healing spirit to me. If the Lord sends you to me, you're going to leave full.
Exactly.
Do you know what I mean? You're going, like, I can even do that even when I'm not full. That's just a gift. And a lot of times, if you're around me, you can be around me. Because it's spirit to spirit. I know, I when I first saw you, I was like, yeah, this girl has a powerful spirit. Yeah. I know that about you. if you're around me and your spirit is not strong, or do you know what I mean? It's tough to be around me.
Especially for women, too.
Especially for women.
They're real intimidated.
I don't know why. So a lot of times growing up, people used to tell me like, oh, Rebecca's aggressive, or Rebecca's this, Rebecca's... I could say hi to somebody and it's like, oh, she, it came up. And I'm like the most loving person. I'm like funny. I'm loving. You know that about, like, I'm like funny. Like, I'm the girl that's going to be like, hi, how are you doing? Like, I would give the shirt off my back to people.
She
like,
would take her wig off her head.
I take off my wig right off my head. Like, just like for comedic relief, for, you know, just to see smiles on people's faces and stuff. So it was really tough growing up and just being called aggressive and being called this and being called that and not knowing who I am and becoming aggressive because I took it to the streets. I'm like, y'all think I'm aggressive? Let's do it. I'm gonna show you. Period. But really, just now resting, resting in the bosom of Jesus. I'm a soft babe. I'm a soft, emotional, sweet babe. I don't want to fight you. You know, I'm not intimidating. I'm full of love. I'm full of love. And when you come to me, you just gotta step correct, baby.
But you can get all sides.
Period.
You can get all sides.
You can get all sides.
Yeah,
you can. Depending on what you want.
It just depends how you step.
Yeah, you got to step to me correct. And I'm not changing that. Like, I love that. I rest in that now. When I talk to people and they're like, oh my gosh, like, you know, like, I just feel like you're making me do this.
This is my identity.
This is who I am. I'm sorry you felt that way because sometimes, you know, we're human beings. We make mistakes. Like me, I'm not saying I'm perfect and stuff like that. But most of the time, it's my spirit that you're interacting with. You're not interacting with me.
Yeah.
You're interacting with my spirit, which is passionate. It's full of Christ. It's from the sanctuary of the Lord.
We're flowing.
Flowing.
From the sanctuary
of the Lord. I literally I've seen people interact with you and I can tell that they're interacting with your spirit. It is very confusing for them because they just see like this small, like tiny, beautiful girl. But it's really like,
but when the beast.
Yes. Like it, you have a power like about you, and especially because you've been through stuff like this. And I love your story.
I didn't love my story, but
now it's you.
I'm good to share it. I'm not ashamed.
We're not ashamed anymore. We're not living in the shadows anymore.
I'm to the point where whatever you ask, I can tell you.
I love that about you.
You ask a question. Okay. Some people say I don't talk. Come and ask me a question and then I can give you some information.
Stop being intimidated. Mikhail's a sweetheart. I think you're hilarious too. I think that's stuff that people don't know about you.
Just don't step wrong because I don't like everybody to think I'm their friend.
Girl, I love that about you.
Because I don't want...
I'm still working that out with fear and trembling. You know what? Y'all ain't my friends. I'm going to say it right now. Listen, I'm friendly and I love y'all, but if you don't rock with me, don't speak to me. If you don't have good intentions for me, please do not speak to me because my spirit already knows. And I don't want to violate you or disrespect you. I love you with the love of Christ. Stay away from me.
And I'm not fake.
Either. And y'all know that.
I don't waste... See, one thing I always say, I say it to my roommates all the time, I don't waste my energy.
That's facts. I'm learning that still. I'm still like, I'm the person, like I'm such an empath. So like somebody can continue to do something to me and I want to think the best of them. So I'm always like, oh, maybe they're, no, I see y'all. I see y'all for who you are.
No, I may think the best and then I'm just going to keep you far away.
Yeah, me too. I keep people at an arm's length now. I do. Like you're not going to come rattle my feathers or like whatever.
But what I did learn is that sometimes I could be a little, you're being offended.
Yeah, I could be offended too, Joe. I still struggle with that.
I'm holding offense because you just being plain, whatever you are.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Wow. Yeah. Wow. We're like at the two-hour mark. I might split this up and make it part one and two, actually.
I'm sorry, guys.
That was such a beautiful story. And I love that. And it just goes back to confidence, your identity, who you are. Your experiences make you who you are. I know it's tough when you're going through it, but it makes you who you are so you can share with other people. If she was still hiding in the shadows, you wouldn't be able to be blessed off her story.
Yeah.
And be blessed off my story. Do not be don't be scared of who you are. Oh my gosh. I don't know how much I could say this. If you're loud, be loud. If you're proud, be proud. If you're friendly, be friendly. Don't let people tell you like you're don't try to let people play you for poppy show means, and translation, that means an idiot. Be who you are. If you're friendly, be friendly. Don't let people tell you like, oh, you're so extroverted. You're so this, you're so that. Like, let those people be miserable.
No, what are you?
What are you? Let them be miserable. If you're that friend that gets people together, if you're that friend that is friendly, if you're that friend that's quiet, if you're that friend that's introverted, if you're that friend that, you know what I mean? Whatever it might be, whoever God has called you to be that. Stand on that. 10 toes down. Don't let no one change you, because the things and the experiences that make your DNA is going to bless other people. That's how you are going to add value. Don't try to morph into anybody but yourself.
No. I can't even fake it.
No, you can't. You really can't though.
I can't fake it.
Because it just be on your face, Cher.
No, right.
Me too.
Right.
When I'm in weird like situations, like I just like my face says it all. Like I'd be like,
But it's so funny that I feel like I don't always do so well when it comes to faking, but when it's time to serve, I serve.
Oh, you sure do. You serve well. I love it.
I need music sometimes though.
Girl, you
get me crunked all the way up.
Turn me up.
I can give you all of Jesus, love.
Yeah.
Because sometimes you don't want Mikel.
Yeah.
You may not want Mikel because I may look too serious.
Yeah.
But you definitely want the Jesus when he's all the way. Yeah. 100 in me. But
and I think it's okay.
Oh, that's great.
We're going through our journey. We're not perfect. Only Jesus was perfect. I don't know how Jesus came down here and dealt with us, Chad.
I don't know. I don't know how he deals with me every day.
I don't know how God deals with me every day. I think that's why he gives me the grace to deal with folks. Because, listen, listen, we're not perfect saints. We love Jesus. We're born again. We are living our life out with fear and trembling. But we make mistakes. Like, or you might catch us on that day where our face is screwed. Sorry. We apologize in advance.
It just depends on what time of the day.
It just.
Because I may be hungry, y'all.
Listen, it's so funny. Like, I love to. This is so funny. Do you know this about Priscilla? Priscilla gets hangry. Priscilla's my sister, y'all. A friend of the show. She gets hangry. Yeah. Like, no, Priscilla turns into a different person.
Well, people tell me I turn into
you. Are you like that too?
Priscilla
turns into a.
But then people want to be talking like it's normal. Oh, I am hungry.
When Priscilla's hungry and I'm talking to her, she's looking at me like, shut up. And I'm like, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And she's hungry. Like, and I'm like, and I'll look at her because I know her now. I'm like, you're hungry, aren't you? And she's like, yeah. Like, we'll get food. Like, the food is going into Priscilla's mouth. It enters her mouth and she just calms down and turns into a different person. Y'all are crazy.
Yeah.
Shout out to P. I love her.
Yeah, it's my girl.
That's my girl. I love her. Yeah. I love her so much. Like, I feel like she's going to be on a pod.
Soon. That's Maisha's other auntie, yo.
And I feel like you and Priscilla relate a lot too, because to know Priscilla is to love her. I always say that to her. Like, you guys are those people, like, there's a lot of gems and love inside. But Priscilla's very, like, you know, she's introverted.
See,
and
if you're a gem, if you're worth a lot, it's not easy to get to us.
You can't be throwing all your pearls to the pigs.
Ah, swine.
Swine, girl.
No. No, Priscilla, I'm with you, girl.
Yeah, she like that, too. But hopefully you guys get to, like, actually, meet and talk to my sister, because, like, we're complete opposites. But this has been so fun. Like, I thank you so much. Thank you so much for like sharing this story. Like,
I hope you guys enjoyed this time that we spent together.
Yeah.
I didn't even cry.
I got really teary eyed, but I had to hold my emotions back because I wanted you to speak.
I cried before starting.
We cried the other night when we were talking too.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
I cried. I cried sharing. She thought my story was like a one-off, and just she's like, oh yeah, this should be like 20 or 30 minutes.
Yeah, I said that. And I'm gonna split it up in two, like part one and two.
So I was like, 20 or 30 minutes.
She's like, girl, do you know what I've been through?
I was like,
but you're a survivor.
I was like, you don't even know the story, do you?
No, because you shared the testimony. It was just like we were shocked, but I didn't.
Well, Rebecca is on the announcement team, and they only give us 2 minutes.
My bad, y'all. The Lord's gonna give y'all more time.
And listen, we had 2 hours. You said this 2 hours?
2 hours.
This is 2 hours and I still haven't shared.
Like all of it.
A lot.
This is like a quick recap. There's like a recap of what you went through. But you know, the most important thing is that you gave your life to Christ. You're a survivor. If Mikel can get through this, you can. She's here to give you guys hope. So any last words for anybody that's listening, that went through what you're going through, and you know, what advice can you give them?
There is hope. There is hope. There is love. There's people that love you. There's people that are meant to help you. I think one of the most valuable things that I took out of all of this is being obedient, obedience, obedience, obedience.
Yeah.
Obedience. And I remember my mom saying that to me too. Obedience is better than sacrifice.
Yeah.
And the obedience in this, it was me being obedient to what the Holy Spirit was doing. I didn't know it was the Holy Spirit. But being obedient to move, being obedient to leave and seek God's face and have a relationship with Christ. Not that he wants you to go through these crazy stories, but I mean, I think our crazy stories is a good conversation. We get to sit here on the couch and share this. Cause yeah. What else will we talk about?
Yeah.
And let me just say this too. Hey, Tyler Perry.
Yeah. Cause we need a movie.
You know, if you want to tag Tyler Perry or...
And we got some good wig makers over here. We ain't going to use Tyler Perry's lace fronts. We love you,
Tyler.
We love you, brother Tyler. We love you. We going to connect one day and I'm going to sit and pod with him one day because I love Tyler Perry and what he's doing. But
I love Tyler Perry.
We need like a Lifetime movie about this.
Did you see Tyler Perry drive his old car that sure he was sleeping?
Yes. That was so inspiring.
He's real.
He's real. That was so inspirational.
So Tyler Perry...
Yeah, Mikhail's looking for you.
Yeah, you could come and sit down and chat, and I could tell you that we could have a movie, sir. You're going to make some money.
Girl, listen. Well, thank you so much for joining. We hope that we made you cry. We hope that we made you laugh. We hope that
you learned a thing or two.
That you learned a thing or two and that you really take away to just be who you are and that you're protected by Christ and that the Lord loves you and that people love you and that we need you here.
There's something that's ashamed.
And don't be ashamed. And we need you here. That's so important. I just want to repeat myself. We need you here. Something that you have is going to bless somebody else. We need you here.
Yeah.
We need you here. So
it gets rough.
It gets rough, but we need you here.
Yeah.
We need just something that you have out there. Thank you to everybody that's listening for all over. Mikhail, thank you so much.
I know I want to thank you. And I just want to say to everybody, I love you. So you guys stay on the side.
Yes. Stay on the side. Where can we... what's your Instagram handle? People want to listen to your podcast.
So there's Journey in Christ podcast. It's on Spotify and it's on YouTube as well.
Yeah, because you have a visual podcast, right?
I do.
That's amazing. Okay, so you guys already know I don't got Instagram right now. But I'll be back soon, Che. But y'all, my LinkedIn is up and running. Shout out to Gift. He fixed my LinkedIn. So LinkedIn's up and running. It's giving good. It's giving professional.
So you're getting a little social now.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. The Lord is doing a few great things around here.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus. And you guys already know that you can email me. So speakingarrangements87@gmail.com or don't call me. I'm not giving out my number. But I'll be back.
Don't call me either.
Don't call Mikhail either. But yeah, if you're looking for somewhere for community, CCCG, okay? It's on 50th Street. Google us. We love you. We're looking forward to meeting you. And until next time, y'all. Bye.